Good afternoon.
I'm live.
Good afternoon. Thank you for coming. This is, it's nice to see the place filled. It's right to see the place filled because we're honoring a very special person. Russell Higgins, I'm glad to say, was a friend. I only got to know him the last 10 or 12 years or so. Wish I'd known him sooner. But still, this is, I'm sure this is just a sampling of all those lives that he did impact while he was here. So let's start with a word of prayer, if you'll bow with me. Lord, as we gather here this afternoon, there's a wide range of emotions, a life lived to the full, and yet you've called him home, and there's that separation that our hearts aren't ready for that. So we need your comfort now, we need your grace now, your peace. I pray we'll have your presence as we share memories. There'll be laughter, there'll be tears, that's all part of the process. I pray, though, it'll all work for comfort and strength for Pat and for the family. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start by reading a scripture. You're all familiar with it, and if you're not, you can. In fact, I'd invite you to. Let's read this out loud together, Psalm 23. It's on back of a great picture, Russell in his element. Let's read this together, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David could write that. We don't know how old he was when he wrote that, but he'd gone through a lot of life experiences, and God was with him. And Russell had a full life with many experiences as well. I'm going to give you a little details, kind of an outline of his life, but then I know some others want to share some stories. And while I'm doing my part, kind of, if you think of a story in a few minutes you'd like to share, because we're running the AC, the noise factor, if you can come up here, I would ask that you come up here in a few minutes and share. If you're kind of sandwiched in somewhere and want to share, we'll get a microphone to you. But those are very important. And then after we're done here, please stay. We're going to go out to the fellowship hall. There's some refreshments out there. There's picture boards out there. It gives you a chance to spend some more time with the family. And that's all really important. Russell was born in Bowdoin, not Bowdenham, Bowdoin, Maine, March 19th, 1924, the son of Herbert and Lizzie Douglas Higgins. He attended Bowdoin schools and worked multiple jobs before being drafted into the Army. 3 years combat in World War II, and his group was assigned to the Philippines. They arrived with their firearms and no ammunition. How's that for tackling the Japanese foe? During his military career, due to an accident, his foot was injured. They had threatened to amputate it, and praise God they did not. That would have been a life changer. After being honorably discharged, Russell owned his own mechanics garage, worked in the woods. 1956, Russell moved to California to work construction, and both he and his son Andy had told me some stories about that. Crane, heavy equipment. Some of you could picture the Bay Bridge. He worked on that, number of projects. 1963, he married Pat, and praise God, they've had two sons, Andrew and Keith. Hearing just a little bit about his time in California, and you've seen it if you've been here and watched the picture show. He loved horses, picture at least, you know, on the horse there. He got into fifth wheel camping, and correct me if I'm wrong, when Russell was getting into fifth wheel camping, it was a relatively newer form of travel trailer. It wasn't as common as it is now. You didn't see him going up and down the main turnpike. But he got into that. He was a member of the Masonic Lodge and the Ames Temple Shrine of California. But the time came, he moved back to Maine. He retired from his construction job. In 1981, they came back here. And that's when, for many of us, that's when we got to know the family. You know, for my picture of Russell, actually, was several times I'd gone over to the house for different reasons. One of them maybe when you've seen the moose pictures, Andrew had shot a moose. But when we actually sat down and started talking about life was in the last few years after he had a couple falls and he broke his hip and he broke his pelvis. So then he's stuck in the hospital, stuck in rehab, which he was gracious about, but he did not want to be there, and who would? And he would tell me stories about some of his interests and things he wanted to do. And we had some good times. But those of you that know Russell know that he loved to barter. You all know what bartering is? And when you barter, who's supposed to get the best deal? I'd ask the family, was he much of a book reader? No, but there was one book that came out every Thursday that he always acquired. It's called Uncle Henry's. And he wasn't alone until Craigslist came out. That really must have hurt Uncle Henry's. But anyway, Uncle Henry's, the other one that he used was the Maine Gazetteer. You know what a Maine Gazetteer is? It's way better than a GPS. Uncle Henry's. So I've heard stories about some of his things. He loved a good deal. So if you love a good deal and you live in this part of Maine, what store do you go to first? Should have bought it when I... He did. I heard that he would bring a lot home from Martin's. And then in the last few years, another store opened in the area that he also liked to visit, and that's called Harbor Freight. Now, how many of you get the Harbor Freight coupons in the mail? How many of you actually use the Harbor Freight coupons? How many of you put your grandchild, your grandson in the car, have them go in and get something, come back out, change their hat and shirt, have them go in and get something? I said, you like to barter. Hey, it's free and there's coupons, right? Something like 15 years ago, Russell got involved in the Maine Antique Tractors Club. And rightfully so to have the picture there. And over the years, he acquired and traded many older John Deere's and Farmalls and Ferguson's, and loved going to the county fairs, loved seeing the tractor pulls. I had a chance one spring. I had my mom and my mother-in-law with us, and we went for a ride out by Sabatis Pond, and they had a field there, and the tractor club was out there plowing up the field. And I'm not really a tractor expert. I have to work on what we have here once in a while, but it was really neat to see these tractors doing what they were made to do by men and women that really loved them and took care of them. Russell loved the Yarmouth Clam Festival, and at the fall it was to Moosehead Lake for the float plane fly-in. In the winter it'd be snowmobiling with his good friend Ralph, who's here. But when I think of Russell too, and from our conversations, I saw this firsthand, I witnessed it firsthand. He loved his wife, he loved his sons, his grandsons, his family. They meant the most to him. He loved the good times together. And especially the grandsons can tell you about what an excellent golf cart driver he was. And he taught them how to drive golf cart. But anyway, Russell and his golf cart. And I hope what I've said sparks some memories. He was real good friends with a neighbor and a mutual friend, Don Layton. They used to go on rides together exploring for looking for good deals. You had to drive around Maine because if you could drive around Maine, see it for sale in the dooryard before it made Uncle Henry's or Craigslist, you had a better chance of getting ahead of the crowd. And I think Russell was most of the time ahead of the crowd. I hope that triggers some thoughts. Any of you want to share? Ralph, you got some thoughts you want to share? You got one? Well, let me bring your microphone. You can stay right there. How does this pop out? You give me a scientific microphone holder. Huh? Hold on. I got a less complicated one. They don't trust me with the complicated stuff. Thank you, Ralph.
Well, the one that... Is that on?
Yeah.
Well, the one that I really remember was that I belonged to the Maine Antique Tractor Club, and another friend of ours that we lost in an accident, at Raymond Bailey, he was in it too. Well, one day, Raymond, these guys, you can bring stuff there to sell if you want to, and these guys had brought a plow, and Raymond wanted this plow. So, but he didn't, I think they wanted $50 for it, and Raymond really didn't want to pay that much for it because he was just going to put it on a stone wall for an ornament, like. And so Russell told him, he said, let me show you how this is done, he said. So they went with the plow. I think Russell went with the money, came back with the plow for $25. So it went on, and the plow on the beam had casted right in it Oliver. Well, this guy wanted to know who bought the plow, and finally word got back to Raymond, and the guy said he'd give $85 for it. So Raymond, he really couldn't, you know, make that much on it, so he told the guy he could have it for $50 if he wanted it. Well, Russell found out he could have made $85 on it, and he sold it for $50. He told Raymond, I taught you, he said, how to buy. He said, now I got to learn you how to sell.
Got to learn you how to sell.
But another thing I remember that Russell, I've known Russell for many years, and another thing was that Russell and I had an agreement that he could lie to his friends and I could lie to mine, but we wouldn't lie to each other.
Thank you very much, Ralph. That was awesome. Anybody else? I know. You don't have to top it. It's not a competition. We're not. It's bartering. It's not competition. Anybody else? Any of you guys want to share? Family members want to share? Got a story? Yeah, introduce yourself. I forgot your name. We met earlier, but hold it right up there.
My name is Steve Agurkis, and I met Russell through dialysis. And he said, do you like to hunt? And I said, yeah. I said, I really don't have a place to go, though. He said, well, what do you mean? What do you hunt? I said, Durham. Yeah, I live in Durham. You live where? In Durham? We set up a chair out in his edge of his field. And for 7 or 8 years, that's where I spent my hunting season. Well, I had set up a spot back from the field, and we used one of Russell's chairs, you know, the green lawn chairs. Well, the ground was soft, and it sunk down into the ground. And I was a little bit heavier than what I am now, and I kind of sunk with it. So I was just far enough back, so I couldn't get up forward. Well, luckily I had, my wife made me bring the phone, and I called, and I think it was Keith that came out. And he said, let me give you a good handshake. So he just grabbed me right and just lifted me right up out of that chair like I was a feather. So Russ and I got back a ways.
Did you ever get a deer?
No.
Did he? There's a point to this. Did he tell you where to? Yeah. Did he tell you where to sit? Did he show you where you were?
Well, Russell said that the doe went.
Okay. Hunters don't really share the good places. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, well, that's a good one. And Andy's never been the same. It was Andy that pulled you out. Keith said he wouldn't do it. Those are good. Anybody else? This all helps. And remember, you know, when you're out in the fellowship hall, I know some people a little nervous, you're in a church, you're okay. It's okay. But it's good to share these stories. I know Pat, Keith, and Andy want to hear these stories. They really help. For the grandkids and the great-grands, and I can say this when my grandpa passed away, I loved hearing these stories. Those are really important things. We're going to do something a little out of order here this morning, and that's okay, because I can do that. But often we have the military presentation at the very end of the service. because of the time commitment of our military personnel, we're going to do that now, and I think it's entirely appropriate to do that now. So, gentlemen, if you would, please. Russell was part of what is rightly called the greatest generation, and serving our country fearlessly, his devotion to country, his devotion to God, his devotion to family. May we all learn from his example. The last 10 years or so of Russell's life were not easy ones. His friend here knows all about dialysis. 3 times a week to Lewiston for over 10 years. And during the last 3 years, 3 serious falls that ended up with broken hips and pelvis, with accompanying surgery and, of course, rehab time after that. And for a man who was used to going and going and doing stuff, those were tough times. But we had good visits together when I was with Russell. He loved sharing his stories, loved talking about his latest deal he'd found. And one time when I was visiting him, he told me about a lawn machine like I'd never heard of, never seen described. And he said, "You got to see this thing. It would really work well up at Shiloh." In case you haven't been here long, we have a lot of lawns around here. And ended up that we were able to acquire that lawnmower, and it's worked out very well. When Russell passed, he did it, I think, the way if any of us could choose to, we would. He was at home with his wife and literally passed away in her arms. He went gently and quickly and peacefully. He had finished his work on earth here, and it was his time to go home. Jesus talks about our final home, where he said these words in John's gospel: "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And that's because when we lose a loved one, we are troubled. Jesus said, "Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." And every time I read this scripture, I am so glad that Thomas was one of the disciples, and he was the one that had the question, and questions are good. "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus gave him this answer, which was one of the clearest and greatest answers in all of history: "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In Jesus coming, he wants us to be with himself. That's what the Christian story is all about. Jesus loving us so much that he would come and die in my place, die in Russell's place, die in your place. Paul would write these words to the church in Corinth, who I'm guessing from reading these 2 letters that we have preserved to that church, they had loved ones pass away and they had questions. But he starts his 2nd letter this way: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." God wants you all comforted, and that's what Jesus is here to do. Jesus would say again these words in John's gospel: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And then these great words: "Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And that's what Jesus did for us, and that's what Jesus did for Russell. Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with this verse, again from John's gospel, but Jesus is the one who spoke them. "For God so loved the world," that's you, he loves the planet too, but it's us, the people, "that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That's why Jesus came. That's what Jesus offers every one of us. All we have to do is come and receive it. So I'd like to pray a prayer in honor of Russell and praying for the family. Again, I want to mention that I hope if you have to run off, you have to run off. But if you don't, please stay. We've got lots of refreshments. We want you to visit and have some time with the family. We're not going to do the formal dismissal filing. So when I'm done, they'll start some music up. You're welcome to visit here, but just make your way out the closest door and head over to the fellowship hall. One second. Okay. I lost my mic. No, Mike. Perfect. Thank you. Will be forever mine. That's the hope we have in Christ. Thank you, Andy, for honoring your dad that way. I'd like to pray for the family, if you'll bow with me. Lord, I thank you for, as I said at the start, a long life well lived, lived to the full. A man who loved his country, loved his family, loved his community. We can see his smile, we can hear his voice, and then he'd start in on a story. I loved his stories. But the family needs comfort now, God. We have this time of separation when you've called a loved one home, but we're still here. But the Bible tells us that that is not the end. For those who die in Christ, we have the hope of the resurrection, of life eternal. So I pray for peace for his sister Dorcas, obviously for Andy and Priscilla, for Keith and Christina, Keith and Caitlin and Adam and Courtney, the great-grandkids, Vera and Gabby. Lord, just hold them in your arms as they share and have the memories. They've had so many good times together. Just comfort them with your peace and love now. I pray especially, though, for Pat, Lord, that your love, the Bible says it's like everlasting arms, that you would be supporting her and holding her and guarding her, that your angels would be encamped around her home, protecting her from all evil. And right when she needs it most, Lord, your comfort would come into her heart because you're the source of all comfort. You're the source of grace and love. Just minister to her exactly what she needs. So, Lord, we thank you for his life. We thank you for your work. We thank you for Calvary. It's meaningful for all of us. You say, whosoever will can come and drink in water, the water of the life freely. So we do that now. In Jesus' name and for his glory, amen. Okay, so you are dismissed. You can make your way to the fellowship halls, the building behind me. We have some refreshments out there, so hope you can head right there. Okay. Thank you all for coming.
On the Hiawassee River.